This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome. Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. And today, ladies and gentlemen, this is the day after the New Zealand election. We have gone through the selection process and everybody has tallied their votes up. And what a big surprise it was for anybody who is completely unaware of anything that goes on in this country. Which is not me. Cynicism. That's my go-to, generally speaking, when you're talking about elections or hope in general. I've got to tell you this because it's a subject near and dear to my heart, because a lot of people have hope. And frankly, I just wonder why they aren't more cynical, you know? And speaking of which, I have a wee song for us to play here called Cynical by Vinnie and the Vendors. About 3.5 minutes for you guys, so here we go. Let me get the... Just going to get a few things sorted here in the background in order to actually get you guys to hear this on radio as well. And I'm so glad that all of you have tuned in. And of course, the music that intros the show and outros and what have you, that's all my music from Vinnie and the Vendettas. And I'm very grateful for all of the people there who are actually supporting us on a weekly, monthly basis type thing, because yeah, man, it was really a tough blow to me when we lost the band after COVID. So we've been making videos of our songs and popping them up on YouTube. So if you want to go see them, go to YouTube, Vinnie and the Vendetta. So this song here is called Cynical.
History and the rest of my nation. I see.
Very much for tuning in to that little excerpt from Vinny and the Vendettas, guys. We have done, I think, over 700 tracks that we've recorded, and out of those, it's only about 80 of them, I think, that are worth putting on an album or something. So, or at least that's so the producer says. Now, cynicism. If we're talking about the elections, let's talk about how important cynicism is. So at the moment here, we've got, let me explain this to the international audience for a moment. So imagine you're living in a country that has a fake money supply that's generated out of thin air so that they can bribe anybody that they want, and by they I mean the globalists who control the banking system, and they've successfully and successively bred the population to be dumber and dumber and dumber with each generation, with their education systems and their control of the media. And as a result, you now have a population in New Zealand with an average IQ of 95. Now, what that means is if you're talking to somebody with a IQ 20 points above yours, you will not physically be capable of understanding what they're talking about. Okay? So if you have a people who have enslaved you, and I just watched the movie The Jones Plantation, written by Larkin Rose, and it was like the most amazing film I've seen since 1999, when I was a teenager walking out of the theater having just seen The Matrix and looking down the main street of Auckland going, man, is this real, is this in a simulation? And incidentally, I just saw a post on Facebook from the Sun in is that Toronto, I think it was, we may be living in a holographic reality sort of thing, very similar to The Matrix. So I'm like, yeah. And this movie, and we'll get back to the elections in a little bit, because I'm just excited about this film. It starts off with a black man going to a slave plantation and telling these white slave owners that these slaves are going to kill them. You know, they're going to rape you to death and so on and so forth, unless you accept my new form of management of your plantation. And he proceeds to tell the slaves that they're free. He proceeds to tell them that they're going to be paid for their work. And then he proceeds to give them a money supply that they can only spend on the plantation. And he proceeds to tell them that they can get out of the plantation and go free if only they give him an enormous amount of money, and then pays people to keep them on the plantation anyway. And I'm like, oh, the uncomfortable laughter I have made a couple of times on that movie, man. Oh, it was just so brilliant. Brilliant. If anybody has the opportunity now, I think it's only $10 to screen the film. You can go to jonesplantation.com, I believe it is, and watch the movie today. I highly recommend it. I literally couldn't recommend it more. In fact, if there's a better film that's been released in the 21st century at this point, I don't know what that is. That's my definitive summation of this movie, The Jones Plantation, the best film of the 21st century so far. That is a huge, huge thing for me to say, okay? Because I'm a big movie buff. This is just, like, amazing. You guys have got to go see it. Now, how it ties in here back to the elections is that we have a selection process, and this is what they did on the Jones Plantation. As soon as people started to realize that, hey, we're actually still slaves here, aren't we? Hey, RBN, are you still there? Would you be able to mute your microphone, please? I can hear you on the back of the thing there. Cheers, brother. Oh man, that's so much nicer, isn't it, guys? Wow. Don't like that static hum. So, wow. Oh man, the quiet. Just hold on just a second. Let's just take 3 seconds of just listening to pure quiet and relax your thoughts, everybody. This is the opportunity you have. See? Isn't that better? So, the New Zealand elections. What they do on the slave colony is they tell you that you can elect somebody, okay, to represent you better. And if you don't like the old slave master, you elect a new slave master who makes your slavery even worse. And on that note, in New Zealand, in 2023, the elections, which will hold on the 14th of October of this year, the next Prime Minister in waiting, Christopher Luxon, formerly of Deloitte, a company that's known for antitrust violations and has been fined many, many millions of dollars for their crimes. In fact, I will just pop that up. Deloitte, this is what you do every time you hear of a company that has employed one of your globalist leaders of some description. Okay, for example, China fines Deloitte $31 million for auditing negligence. You can see immediately that these companies that your so-called leaders and things of that nature belong to are basically involved in criminal acts the whole way along. And the only reason why, of course, these people haven't been turfed out of those companies is because they're just as corrupt as the entities that they serve. Quote unquote, this is from News Hub, published today, just a few hours ago. Kiwis are waking up on Sunday morning to National winning the 2023 general election, and with it, a new Prime Minister in waiting in Christopher Luxon. So you had the election process here. Now, in New Zealand, you have a blue party that's called National. In the United States, you have a red party called the Republicans, okay? They're more or less the same, just in the kind of alleged right-wing and alleged left-wing, when the reality is that they're both centralist leftists, okay? And so it really doesn't matter which one actually gets in, whether it's a George Bush or a Bill Clinton or whatever. It's the same deal, because all of their cabinet members come from the same globalist groups and clubs. Now, on that note, we had a documentary series that I made on the Vinnie Eastwood Show website. And by the way, before we continue, I want to remind people that this is a listener-supported broadcast through and through. So if you want to support this broadcast, make sure it still stays on the air. We've been around since 2008 and have been going strong the whole time, even through deplatforming and shadow banning and demonetizing and things of that nature. The only way that we've been able to stay on air at all is because of your generous donations, and we desperately need them now. So please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and make a donation today. Start up a weekly gift of $5 a week or $5 a month, just to help us keep the lights on and the heat burning so we can continue doing the show for you. So these election series that we did on the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com have gone over every political party that we had at the time. Now, we did this during the 2017 election, before Jacinda Ardern was elected for the first time as Prime Minister. Now, what we found during that investigative piece is that all previous Prime Ministers were globalists, all of them. Okay, or at least back until the 1960s and 70s anyway. And all of these various leaders have come through and started implementing globalist policies just because they can. Now, On the back of that, there was a docuseries called Someone Else's Country, made by a New Zealand filmmaker called Alistair Barry. Now, what Alistair did is he went and interviewed a lot of former politicians and former prime ministers and people of that ilk, and asked them what the process was like when they get elected. So, this is what's happening to Chris Luxon probably this morning. Okay, or it might have been yesterday morning, who knows. The Treasury calls in the Prime Minister and says, congratulations, sir, on your victory. Unfortunately, there's been a huge crisis that's been building up in the background that the previous government has been keeping under wraps, and now you have to deal with this crisis. Now, it means that those election promises that you made, you're not going to be able to fulfill them. And if you do, the economy is going to tank. And we will ensure that the people who lose their jobs and lose their homes and their businesses will blame you for it. So do you have any questions? And the Prime Minister goes, only what my agenda is. That's what happens when you get a new Prime Minister, okay? And this is happening right now as we speak. So as the financial elites are rubbing their hands together, thinking about what stuff they can get away with under an alleged right-wing government, which is really a left-wing government, as opposed to a left-wing government, which is allegedly a centrist government, they are trying to figure out what more planks of the communist infiltration they want to put on. And I say communist infiltration very specifically because the previous election, I believe the 2020 election, a man named Jamie Lee Ross split from the then National Party, whose leader was Simon Bridges. And he left the party after capturing a recording of him and Simon Bridges discussing selling one of the members of parliament's seats for $100,000 to a Chinese investor so they could get one of their people in there. Okay, literal communist infiltration from the state of China. Now, National has said that one of their policies is that they're going to open up extremely expensive homes and lands to be sold to Chinese nationals. All right? Didn't see that coming, right? Didn't see that coming at all! And this is echoed in, I would probably assume, every other election in the entire world, really. If the globalists are in control, they just do this thing. So what's the difference between globalists and communists? Well, the answer is really, effectively, not much. Okay, imagine you've got 20 people, and those 20 people are all completely different. You know, they speak different languages, they come from different countries, and they have different jobs, and so on and so forth. But they all belong to the same groups and clubs which have a central doctrine to abolish national sovereignty and enthrall the world in a gosh darn massive, huge cadre of communist scumbaggery. We'll explain more about this after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's all going down on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, that's for shizzle. We are talking about the New Zealand 2023 elections. Why is this important internationally speaking? Well, New Zealand's the test case. All right, well, if it happens here, it'll soon be happening where you are. And, of course, vice versa. Whatever's happening in the United States, we've started to see signs of it happening here. And we are all in a new world order, are we not? And I happen to be I'm the OG, you know, the original gangster truth broadcaster out of New Zealand. Now, I can put a lot of people off because I'm very different to normal New Zealanders. Normal New Zealanders lack primarily one characteristic: enthusiasm. Okay? We don't like it. We don't like anybody having enthusiasm. And in fact, if we see anybody having it, we try to say, hey, just shut up, man. Just keep your head down, mate. What are you doing? You know, that's how New Zealanders are. I remember when I went to university when I was 20 in Dunedin, and I was at my neighbor's house and we were having a few drinks, getting ready to go out. And they were like, yeah, bro, it's going to be a good night, bro. And I went to my mate, like, man, these guys aren't very enthusiastic, man. And he's like, are you kidding me, bro? I've never seen them this excited. It's just getting people motivated. I mean, we live in an island in the bottom of the world, you know, kind of thing, or on the surface rim, periphery of the frickin' world, next to the ice wall, if you're one of those flat earth guys. And the whole idea that you can get New Zealanders motivated to do anything is kind of like pissing into the wind. I believe that the the term is kind of like this. And if you see the actual electionary results, the preliminary results that we have online here, we have the National Party has gotten 38.99% of the votes, Labour Party 26.85, Green Party 10.78, ACT Party 9%, New Zealand First Party 6.46%, the Māori Party 2.6%, the Opportunities Party 2%, and then we start to get into the Freedom Parties. Now, let's give you a little bit of a breakdown on these. Now, those other parties are basically, National Party is like the corrupt globalist Republicans, Labour Party are like the corrupt globalist Democrats, the Green Party, I mean, you can tell what they are, they're watermelons, they're green on the outside, red on the inside. ACT Party is kind of like this, you know, alleged right-wing thing, but they're really just socialists who just rubber stamp everything that the National Party does and just be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember back in the day, a left-wing commentator, Martin Bomber Bradbury, he said that National and ACT are two entities that should never be in the same room together, because at some point, one of them is going to say, hey, want to privatize something? And the other will go, all right, you twisted my arm. And it's exactly that, what's happening. And New Zealand First, the next party on the list here, have been noted as the basic betrayers. They were the reason why Jacinda Ardern got in power in 2017. He decided to go with them. And rubber stamped all of that COVID measures and all of the lockdowns and all of those things that I protested against and are still facing jail for. And then after he was thrown out of parliament at the election after that in 2020, I believe it was, then he started going, oh, I want to be all about freedom and all of these people that have been damaged and so on and so forth. And you know, those of us who are cynical, myself included, saw right through that. And it's just like, look, Winnie the Pooh smells honey. All right, that's the name of the leader of the New Zealand First Party, Winston Peters, aka Winnie the Pooh. And I don't want to insult the guy. He's probably one of our grandest statesmen that we've ever had. And back in the day, he launched a thing that became dubbed as the Wine Box Inquiry, because Winston was doing all this investigation and he brought all his papers and so on to Parliament in a big wine box. Now, what that inquiry unearthed is a massive tax evading scam by massive New Zealand companies and the banking sector working together to get out of taxation and to bribe each other and basically run the country on a financial breadwinner streak, right? It's just basically, we've got all the money, we don't have to pay to even earn any of it, and we control you, and we will do what we like with you. That's what Winston exposed. But he hasn't done anything like that since, because that's what happens when you expose the globalists. They don't like it, and they don't want you around anymore. We'll be right back after the break.
I was a prime suspect in a bootleg investigation. A prime suspect for a swathe of grievous crimes. A prime piece of meat from my head to my feet. I was a sacrificial lamb, all part of the plan. They sacrificed me to...
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, fellow slaves of the global plantation, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, launching live on Republic Broadcasting Network out of Texas, mate. And yeah, I'm the Kiwi who has the US talk radio show. Isn't that lovely? Unfortunately, this will be coming to an end reasonably soon. The network is going to be dropping my show on the 26th of November. So if anybody knows any other radio networks out there that might have a slot open or something, just let them know that the Vinnie Eastwood Show is looking for a new home. And I'd like to thank Republic Broadcasting for giving me this slot for most of this year, because yeah, I just randomly one time just asked them, you know, I was like, you know what, to heck with it, I'm sick of not doing radio and not having ads and all of that kind of stuff. I love it, especially in the American talk radio circuit, because it's just so much better. As I mentioned before about New Zealand levels of enthusiasm, there really ain't a whole lot of it. American, on the other hand, much more enthusiastic, with an actual history of fighting against tyranny and wanting freedom and things of that nature. That's not New Zealand's history. New Zealand's history is about doing what the crown tells you and being a good house slave, right? And I'm sure that many people, you know, are confused about what New Zealand is like and what have you, or why it's even relevant or whatever. But, you know, it's a Western country that has a subservient population that they can just do experiments in, you know, experiments that they know won't get out of hand if they try them here. For example, they tried to give women the vote here first, right? Why? Because England was worried about it, you know? They're like, if we give women the vote, will that change things or will it not? So they gave women the vote in their colony, New Zealand, and they found out that the women voted the way their husbands did. So nothing changed. So they go, yeah, we're going to liberate you women. We're going to give you something to vote for. So we'll go exactly the same way anyway. The same with superannuation, you know, or the unemployment benefit. We're kind of the first country to do that. They're kind of thinking, if we give people money and stuff like that for free, will they use that money to try and like cause some kind of a upset and use their own personal time to become a pain in the bum for the state as we're trying to rule over them? And so they gave them all this stuff, and they found out that people just didn't do jack, you know. They just sit around, you know. I remember a movie called Office Space by Mike Judge, the creator of Beavis and Butthead. And this guy was asked by his school teacher, what would you do if you had $1 million? And he says, I would do nothing. And he's like, nothing, huh? Yeah, I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing. And he goes, well, man, you don't need $1 million to do nothing. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do nothing. And this is how these things work, right? You have these little experiments, and then if the experiment is successful in the way that you want to socially engineer society or keep it engineered in the same way that it currently is, you can experiment in a little place like New Zealand. Then if it's successful, then you export it to other countries. So that's really the primary reason why New Zealand has any significance internationally in terms of the Western psyche, because of that dynamic. Now, this election that we are going through here, this has been very strange, because our system's a little bit different to the United States, where instead of having, you know, one House of Congress and one House of the Senate and so on and so forth, we've just got one House of Parliament, you know, and instead of a president, we've got a prime minister. And it's an elected dictatorship. Okay, what they call a sovereign parliamentary dictatorship. What that means is no previous government can bind any future government. Okay, so if you put down laws that say you've got rights, free speech, freedom of assembly, so on and so forth, the government can just pass a law at 4 o'clock in the morning called the COVID-19 Health Response Act that ostensibly says you don't got any of those rights anymore. Okay, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Nothing. Okay? We tried. We tried exposing them, got deplatformed. Tried protesting them, got arrested. That was nearly 2.5 years ago. And we're still going through the court process. Billy's up to like $120,000 in debt to his lawyer at this point. I mean, I was lucky enough to have my lawyer take the legal aid, because it bankrupted me in very short period of time earlier on in the piece, trying to pay a lawyer to defend me, and so now I'm getting what's known as legal aid, which means the government is paying my lawyer to protect me against them. Touché. You know, they didn't see it coming. And this whole element that we have here in the New Zealand election, this is what I really wanted to get into today, is all of these minor freedom parties. Okay, now they are as follows. New Zealand Loyal, they got 26,000 votes. This is them on screen here. For those of you watching on YouTube, go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show YouTube channel, or Vinnie Eastwood on Twitch, or the Vinnie Eastwood Show on Facebook, and you can watch the live broadcasts of this with video. Now, New Zealand Loyal was started by a woman named Liz Gunn, a former mainstream media talking head, who has since come out and working with a mate guy named Jonathan Clark as her cameraman. And John is very skilled, and it was because of him that there was any footage of my arrest after the fact, because there was, I think, maybe 10 to 12 different cuts and footage that I've seen of me actually being arrested. But in terms of being marched down the street to the paddy wagons, nobody followed, right, with their cameras running and stuff like that, except Jono. And so I just wanted to say, you know, thank you, Jono. That was so lovely, man, and I very much appreciated that, and that's why I support these guys in their entirety. Now, they got the most votes out of all the little minor freedom parties here, and so they started their party like a month or 2 months or less than maybe 3 months before the election day, and then they wound up trouncing all the other freedom parties. Like, they got 1.16% of the vote. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but think about this. There's 25,000 people. You know how there's a 1%, you know, and we always think of that as a negative thing. What if there is two 1%s? The 1% of pure evil are very smart and very committed, and the 1% of those of us who are good and also very smart and also very committed. Okay, we're the ones who change things. I think the vast majority of people never really change anything in terms of mankind's history in any real way. So, you know, good on you, New Zealand Loyal. You beat them out, and you had less time to do it than anyone else. So grand work there. However, of course, not a single Freedom candidate, not a single Freedom Party made it over the line to get a single representative in Parliament. That means every single minute, every single hour, and every single day, and every single dollar that they spent trying to get elected was completely wasted. That's just trying to get elected. That's the part that was wasted. What wasn't wasted is the time that you spend in front of people, giving people hope, being together with others, networking, growing your database. You think Freedom's just going to suddenly get elected? You know, and take you over the line and suddenly solve all your nation's problems? No, that's not how it works. Okay, it's a long, slow process to get people free. In the United States, it took years of war against the crown, and it was decades of activism and advocacy and contrition and attrition that was being plaguing the colonies at the time before they even decided that war was the only option left to them, because the enemy didn't give them any other option, okay? Freedom movements don't just come out of the woodwork all of a sudden and become successful. There is groundwork that need be laid. So if you think about the time and hours and money and things of that nature, they did make a little bit of a difference. Every little bit of difference that is going in the right direction is, in my opinion, a reasonably good thing. Now, the next people on here were New Zeal. Now, I hadn't heard of them until I did a screening of the River of Lies documentary in Rotorua, or as we call it, Roto Vegas. And they are a Christian party, okay? So there's a lot of Satanism going around the world, and in New Zealand, of course. And this whole Christian fight back is being poo-pooed and being attacked by everybody left, right, and centre of the political spectrum. But what's interesting about that is that the election turnout that they got for a non-secular voting was better than a significant amount of the other Freedom parties, including the Legalised Cannabis Party, which has been there since, I believe, 1996, when New Zealand put itself into mixed member proportional voting. Now, what that means is, you know how you got like a party and it's first past the post, they get 51%, or whoever gets the most votes wins? It's like, not like that in New Zealand. There's actually other people in here as well. Now, do we have a little... Oh, we've got Quince in Florida on the line, I believe. Quince, are you there? Quince in Florida, you're on the air. Or are you? I think, RBN, you have to unmute your mic there. Nope. Can't hear him. All right. Continuing on. Legalized Cannabis Party in the mixed member proportional voting system, as I was explaining here. If you get 5% of the overall vote, that gives you members of parliament, all right? I mean, however many you get for the proportion. And so... we do believe Quince is here. Oh, no, he dropped. He dropped, unfortunately.
No, I'm not used to having to mute and unmute for every call and whatever. So,
sorry, bro. It's okay, man. Don't worry about it. There's no stress. Not on this show, anyway. So these people who've done the election, there's a number of other parties as well here. Freedoms New Zealand, for example, is Sue Gray has been working with Freedom Advocacy and the New Zealand Outdoors Party for some time. Okay, RBN, you want to see if we can unmute Quince there, and then we'll see if we can bring him on. Just take your time there, bro.
Hey, you got me?
Yeah, we do. Quince, welcome.
Thanks. I was catching your show. It sounded very interesting, and I heard you mentioning that New Zealand is kind of lackadaisical when it comes to freedom, but I wanted to let you know you have a couple of freedom-minded superstars down there.
Yeah, which ones
do you reckon? Name of Mark and Samantha Bailey.
Okay.
Mark and Samantha Bailey. Yes, Samantha Bailey is co-author of the book Virus Mania.
Hmm.
And if you're not familiar with her, just look her up on YouTube.
That's Dr. Sam Bailey. Yes, we've been talking with her about, I believe she's with New Zealand Doctors on the Science, who had a remarkably successful conference with, I think, nearly 2,000 medical professionals attending the conference very recently, looking over the vaccines and the pandemic data. So that was, like, really exciting for some people. They're like, whoa, you know, almost like what the Jones Plantation movie did for me.
Yeah, well, New Zealand has a lot to be proud of, because those two right there, they are fearless. They don't, you know, they have no regard for bureaucracy. They only want the truth, and I have a high regard for them.
Oh, man. And I'm just talking about a bell curve, you know? On either end of the bell curve, there's extremes. And what I like about New Zealand is that we do have certain extremely talented individuals. Like, we punch above our weight kind of thing. We were the ones who split the atom. We were the ones who conquered Everest. You know, so some things do happen here that really can't happen anywhere else. We made The Lord of the Rings into a movie series, all right? Nobody even thought that was possible until a New Zealander figured it out. So, you know, we've got capacity here, but also at the same time, yeah, the lackadaisical, that's the general rule.
it's all over the U.S. in spades, too, so you're not alone with that. But I thought I'd just call in and let you know. You got the Baileys down there, and they are heavyweights. I just really appreciate her work. She's got some great videos if you haven't seen her presentations before. Have you seen them?
I'm afraid I haven't. Do mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
What is it that actually inspires you? Like something that you see it, you hear it, but it makes you do something afterwards of your own volition, something that actually provokes your will. What is it that actually inspires you?
That's a very deep question. Because as you get older, you find out that discretion is the better part of valor. Because as you're younger, you just dive right in. Oh, no, I'm going to put a halt to this. Then as you get older, you realize, well, you know, this chessboard is about 100 levels deep. And the guys that are, you know, have been playing the game have been around a long time before I even came on the scene. So I watch my moves very carefully. And but what inspires me to move is seeing other people that are gifted and inspired and that are on the track that resonates with me. Baileys are one, you know, are two people that inspire me.
What about...
And I do what I can to forward, you know, to help to further their efforts, you know, to help them out financially, so...
Who would be your favorite countryman at this point in terms of somebody who's from the same country as you that you...
That's very difficult to say, because when you look at our government, it's very difficult to find anyone in our entire Congress who hasn't signed a pledge to another nation, Israel.
Mm.
In order to get a seat, you can ask Catherine McKinney about that.
Cynthia McKinney,
you refuse to sign that pledge to Israel, your life in Congress is very short, if you even get in there.
Yes, and I recall that Cynthia McKinney taking that stand and trying to go to Gaza on the flotilla or something, and she found out very soon afterwards, just as Ron Paul did, that if you don't toe the line, they have so many different mechanisms to get you out of power and get you out of that platform that you can inform people and advocate for people with.
There are a lot of great people out there. A lot of them are very low profile because they know, is, you know, when you stick your head up there, it's the first one that's going to get knocked off. But there's some really great people out there that have done a lot of work for years. Many of them are hosts on RBN. and it's helping. It's laying the foundation brick by brick. Because more and more people are starting to understand the game. They're studying, they're understanding the mechanisms that are being used to implement globalism. And they're seeing it more clearly.
Mechanisms, they are a complexity. Have you noticed that when people have woken up pre-COVID and post-COVID, there's a different level of wake-up that they've had? Like, if you didn't realize that anything was wrong with the world, and then COVID happened, then suddenly you start doing your research, and suddenly you start questioning authority. As opposed to those of us who've been doing it a long time.
I call it the new Christian syndrome. We've all been through it, where you suddenly wake up and it's like, oh my gosh, you've got to see what happened to our country, you know? And I'm looking at part of my personal library, which is well over 500 books, that many of which you can't even find in a library. But they're all books about the global matrix and how things became the way they are. And it takes study. You have to dive deep into it to see the labyrinth and understand how deep it goes, and all the private clubs, and the Club of Rome, the Committee of 300, and the Tavistock Institute, and all that stuff. It's all woven into the mix. And if you just go into this battle waving the flag of the Constitution, you have very little ammo because you don't know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, I remember, I call it post-truth traumatic stress, PTTD, because after you realize everything's a lie, you know, hey, I've lived my entire life, and I've done everything I've ever done, and it's all been for naught, and now I'm back to square one, like a child who has to go back to elementary school to relearn everything from scratch. Now, they say it takes 10,000 hours, 500 books, 10,000 hours, that seems to equate to before you've got even a mild hand on the actual situation that we're dealing with across these various spectrums of influence. You reckon you'd agree with that?
Absolutely. I have a list in it. I mean, just my public library book lists, the stuff that I've found at the library is probably in excess of 30 books. And, you know, like right now I just found a really good book. I didn't suspect it would be at the library, but I'm almost finished with it. It's just truly amazing. It's by Stephen Greer. It's called Unacknowledged. And it's about the trillions of dollars that have been sunk into government agencies and the military that have back-engineered, lack of a better word, alien technology, but it's not really from another planet, it's from here, but they back-engineered it, they've rediscovered free energy, and they have used it, they have a use of it at this point, and it makes everything we're using now obsolete. And they know that, and it's been obsolete for years and years. But they don't want to bring it out and implement it in society, because that would end a giant income stream for the systems that are in place.
Yeah.
You know, the electricity and the utilities and gasoline and all
now,
that
Quincy,
stuff.
Quincy, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but we have another caller now and only just a few more minutes in the broadcast. Do you mind if I go to him?
Please do. I just want to let you know that, you know, New Zealand, they've got some good patriots down there.
Thank you, brother. JP in Chicago 3, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Vinny, I just want to say welcome to RBN. I've been a fan of yours in the good old days when the internet was still free.
Oh.
So it's good to hear you speaking free on the radio waves and the internet for once.
Well, still not quite. There's certain keywords and things of that nature that you can't mention. Do you feel like a sense of loss, like a losing a loved one kind of thing, over the way information was so easy to get before versus how it is now?
Oh yeah, everything's good since COVID. I have relatives in New Zealand and Ireland, England, you know, and our bloodline, the RB1, the R1B is the artisans, and we basically go back to the early Palestine days, you know, if you go back in the lineage, but What I found is that we're basically been taken over by this WHO, by the elite control through power projection. And I learned a lot from you, Vinny, in the earlier days when you talk about the Club of Rome and London and the bankers. And I did my own research over the years, but I remember you back in the day, a decade ago, talking about this stuff. So, but we're here. I think we're at the end game now. What do you think?
I mean, maybe. It's just my grandfather was asked a question by my sister. She says, I'm not having a really good time, Granddad. And she goes, and he goes, well, it'll all be all right in the end. And she goes, but what if it's not? And he goes, then it's not the end. There's little pieces of inspiration that we have that we can draw from, the thing that keeps us alive. A lot of people have killed themselves, right, over this course of time because they felt really alone and they felt really uninspired and they felt really depressed. And I stand against that because I want to prioritize the one thing that actually makes life worth living. Fun.
I miss the Irish Muses sessions. All the old Irish guys are dead after the shot. Mm. All of them are dead. So I miss the music. That's the one thing I miss the most.
Keep that music alive. Download it. Share it with people. There's so many memories that we will never be able to have back, and we need to pass it on for future generations. JP and Quince as well, guys, thank you so much for your call towards the end of the broadcast. Thank you so much to Republic Broadcasting Network and all of you listening at home. This has been the VinnyEastwoodShow.com signing off. Love you guys. See ya.